वेलकम टू भक्ति संगत जप ग्रुप। टुडे वी आर फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव हर ग्रेस कीर्तिदास सुंदरी माता जी ऑन द टॉपिक ऑफ श्री चैतन्य भागवत आदि खंड चैप्टर टू वर्स 85 ऑन वर्स। थैंक यू वेरी मच माता जी। दंडवत प्रणाम। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री प्रभुपाद। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू गुरु महाराज। थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर गिविंग योर वेरी वेरी वैल्यूएबल टाइम एंड एसोसिएशन टू अस दिस मॉर्निंग एंड एनलाइटनिंग अस On this topic, I now hand over call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Yashomati Mataji. Thank you for your very, very kind, warm welcome. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you for all your wonderful association, for sharing your valuable time with us. So thank you. Really, really grateful to each and every one of you. So we'll start. Om Ajnanati Nirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahakana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchatatvatakam Krishna Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhascha Kripasindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Guruve Gaura Chandaya Radhikaya Tadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha Ananda Leela Maya Vigrahaya Nema Bhadivya Chavi Sundaraya Tasmai Maha Prema Rasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Ajanulambita Bhujanau Kanakavadhatau Sankirtanai Kapitarau Kamalayataksau Vishwambharau Dvijavarau Yugadharma Palau Vande Jagat Priyakarau Karunavatarau Jayati Jayati Deva Krishna Chaitanya Chandro Jayati Jayati Kirti Stasya Nitya Pravitra Jayati Jayati Bhrityastasya Vishveshwamurte Jayati Jayati Nrityam Tasya Sarva Priyana. Hare Krishna, thank you all so much, dear devotees. Thank you for your association. Thank you for your interest in reading Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur and beautiful, extensive, elaborate commentary by His Divine Grace, Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj. So we will continue with this, but before we continue, I really seek blessings and wishes, prayers from each and every one of you, so that whatever I speak should be relevant to your ears, should be pleasing to everyone and should be pure for the purification of myself and of course the glorification of Chaitanya Bhagavat. So I really seek all of your blessings. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhuvaivacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namo. Anantakoti vaishnavrindiki jai. So we are in the section where Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur is describing the condition. I'll not be sharing the screen. I'll be reading from the book itself. So you can just, you know, pay attention, or even if you can open it to your PDF, that will be great. If not, you know, you can just lend this, you know, your ears, and that will be sufficient for that. So here Vrindavan Das Thakur is describing the condition of Navadvip. And I'll just give you the prelude of what we covered in a very short, in a very short form, that how Navadvip was really the place of debates. People were very scholarly. And Vrindavan Das Thakur was saying that they were so scholarly, they were so perfect in Sanskrit grammar that even small children can challenge their teachers. And they were all very, very learned, well-educated, very, very scholarly, but, you know, with this, all these good things, good qualities that comes, also comes sometimes in a very subtle form, comes pride. So the only drawback was that they were proud of their knowledge. They became so proud of their knowledge. And when pride is there, we all know that that pride has a fall. Those who are proud, definitely there is a fall. And the fall down for them was that they were devoid of the devotion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were devoid of the devotion of Krishna and Balaram. They were not able to engage themselves in any kind of devotional service. And Vrindavan Das Thakur describes that how they were simply wasting their human form of life in all other processes and not doing any kind of devotional service. Vrindavan Das Thakur writes that they would squander money on the marriages of their sons and daughters. They'll do all kind of, you know, idol worship, but they don't understand the religious principles of this age, that is chanting of the holy name, because they were devoid of devotion, and it is all because they were proud. So Vrindavan Das Thakur writes, Yeva sabha virakta tapasvi abhimani. They became abhimani. Even the renunciant, even the sannyasis in Navadvip at that time were abhimani. And they were not chanting the names of Lord Hari. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Shira Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj writes that how, you know, when we get all these good qualities, there is a subtle way that the pride enters. Sometimes, you know, people glorify us that, wow, you give so nice classes. You dress the deity so wonderfully. You cook bhoga so nicely. You preach so nicely. Oh, you do book distribution so nicely. With all these things, pride comes in a very, very subtle way. The devotees who are not cognizant don't even realize that when pride has entered in them. So in a nutshell, we have to be very, very careful, very, very humble. But the condition of Navadvip Vasis was at that time that they were very proud of their scholarly thing, and they were very proud of doing their pakka rules and regulations, doing their so many austerities. Yes, they were doing everything, but they were very proud of doing. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his Narada Pancharatra quotes, from Narada Pancharatra, he quotes, आराधितो यदि हरिस तपस्या तथा किम, नाराधितो यदि हरिस तपस्या तथा किम, अंतर बहिर यदि हरिस तपस्या तथा किम, अंतर बहिर यदि हरिस तपस्या तथा किम। So what he says, Narad Muni is saying, Aradhito Yadi Haris, if somebody is really worshipping, you know, the Supreme Personality of God as Sri Hari, Tapasya Tatha Kim, what is the use of all other austerities? Na Aradhito Yada Haris, if you are not worshipping Lord Hari, then also don't do any kind of austerities, because the ultimate goal of doing all your austerities, all your penances, is to please Lord Hari, is to engage in the devotional service of Lord Hari. Antir bahir yadi haris tapasya tatha kim. And if somebody understands that bahir narsima hridaye narsima yato yato yami tatho narsima, if somebody understands that everywhere is Lord Narsimha Dev, everywhere is Lord Hari, then tatpasa tatha kim, then also what is the use of doing any kind of austerities? Na antir bahir yadi haris, if doesn't understand that the Supreme Lord is all pervading, then also there is no use of his tapasya, because that's not going to lead that person into any kind of devotional service. So how important it is that, yes, cultivation of knowledge, this jnana, this vairagya, these are all secondary. Ultimate is savai pumsa paro dharma yato bhaktir bhaktir adhokshaje. The best is that we should worship the Supreme Lord adhokshaja, right? An unmotivated, uninterrupted service we have to do. Apratihata ahituki apratihata yayatma suprasiddhati. That's how we have to please the Supreme Lord. But people those days were not chanting the names of Lord Hari. The only time they were chanting was, they were chanting the name of Govinda and Pundarikaksha when they were doing their bath, taking bath in the river Ganges and chanting their mantras. So only Brahmins, when they were chanting their Gayatri mantras, so while taking bath, they would go and chant the name of Pundarikaksha, because we all know, especially those who are second initiated, that before chanting our Gayatris, we have to purify ourselves. Especially in US, it's not possible that, you know, we go and take bath in Ganga. And what to talk about taking bath in Ganga? Sometimes we are in office, sometimes we are outside. So we don't even have time to take shower, right? So what we do is, we just take a few drops of water in our palm and we chant this mantra, Om Pavitra Pavitrava Sarvavastha Gato Piva Yat Pundari Kakshat Smarit Sabhaya Abhayantara Shuchi. So we chant this mantra so that, and we say, Om Vishnu, 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 and we pour that water, that little water on our head, just to purify ourselves so that we can chant our Gayatris. Right? But those days, people were taking bath in river Ganga and they were chanting their Gayatris very, very nicely in time. And only that time they were chanting the names of Pundarikaksha and Govinda. But otherwise, they were bereft of any kind of devotional service. And when they were talking about Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not that Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam they were not talking about. They were talking about, that preaching was going on because they were very scholarly. But whatever they were preaching was devoid of devotion of Krishna, was devoid of devotion of Supreme Lord. So what is the use of such preaching? What is the use of reciting and preaching and telling about Bhagavad Gita when you don't bring up the point that that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and we should worship him? Man mana bad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru. That's the confidential message that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita. And if somebody fails to understand that confidential message, what is the use? Tathakim, what is the use of memorizing the entire 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita if we cannot imbibe that one final instruction of Krishna in our life? And especially the second verse that we all know, Sarva Dharman Parityaja, Maam Ekam Sharanam Vraj Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshishyami Maam Shucha. If we cannot imbibe those verses, if we cannot follow those verses, then what is the use? Tathakim, what is the use of reciting or memorizing this entire Bhagavad Gita or even speaking something about Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam? Because we know that even Srimad Bhagavatam, the Paribhasha Sutra of Srimad Bhagavatam is Etas Chamse Kalapumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. If we fail to understand that Paribhasha, the definition of entire Srimad Bhagavatam, then what is the use of reading Srimad Bhagavatam? People were explaining, they were being explained Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, but there would not be any mention of doing any kind of devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. So that was the condition at that time. People were totally under the clutches of illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. But then there were few devotees who were thinking, who were so compassionate at their heart, were thinking that how these people will be delivered, how they can be brought close to the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. There were some people and they were following everything properly. They were doing their duties properly. They were bathing in Ganga properly, worshipping Krishna, discussing topics of Krishna. So there were few group of devotees who were doing all that. And among those few group of devotees was our leader, who is Sri Advaita Acharya. And yesterday we touched upon this point that how Sri Advaita Acharya would worship his Shaligram Shila. He has his Narasimha Shaligram Shila and he would worship with Ganga water and he would worship with Tulasi Manjari and he would loudly roar that, "O Krishna Chandra, please bestow your mercy on these people." Why? Because he was compassionate. Advaita Acharya, who is non-different from Sadashiv and Mahavishnu, he was very, very compassionate to the people of Navadvip and he would worship his Shaligram Shila just to invoke the presence of the Supreme Lord so that Lord himself can come and deliver these people, teach them about devotional service, make them chant the holy names. So he would loudly chant, as Sarvamau Bhattacharya writes, "Ohunkar garjanadi ahoratra satgunam ha Krishna radhikanath prarthanadi bhavanam dhupa deepa kasturi cha chandanadi lepanam Sita Natha Dvaita Charana Ravinda Bhavanam Dhupa Deepa Tul Kasturi Cha Chandanadi Lepanam. He would anoint his Shaligram Shila. He would offer his Dhup, his Deep, the lamp, and Tulasi also he would offer. And Kasturi, the musk. You know how we worship Shaligram Shila is? We have to anoint, we have to massage that Shaligram Shila with the fragrant oil. And then we apply Chandan, Chandanadi Lepanam, Sita Natha Dvaita Charana Ravinda Bhavana. And then he writes, Gangavari Manohari Tulsi Adi Manjari Krishna Jnana Sada Dhyana Prema Vari Jhari Jhari Kripabdhi Karunanata Bhavishyati Bhavanam Sita Natha Dvaita Charana Ravinda Bhavanam. So what Advaita Acharya will do? That he would Gangavari Manohari, he would sit on the banks of River Ganga. He used to bathe his Shaligram Shila with Ganga water, Tulsi Adi Manjari, and he would offer the manjaris, the Tulasi manjaris, to his Narasimha Shaligram. And not only that, just not ritually worshipping, but Krishna Jnana Sada Dhyana, always remembering about Lord Sri Krishna, he would worship his Shaligram Shila. Yes, he would bathe that Shaligram Shila with Ganga water, but he would also cry profusely he would cry, Gangavari Manohari Tulsi Yadi Manjari, Krishna Dhyana Sada Dhyana Premavari Jharjari. That tears would flow from his eyes and he would bathe his Shila with those tears also. Just because he want that in Bhavishya, in future, that Supreme Lord should personally come and should deliver all these people of Navadvipa. Now, why he was worshipping his Shaligram Shila with Tulsi Manjaris and with Ganga water? In that case, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes from Gautamya Tantra, there's a very beautiful verse. Tulsi dala matrena jalasya chulukena va vikrinite svam atmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsala. So Advaitacharya knew about this verse and he just caught hold of this verse. What this verse says? This verse says, Tulsi dala matrena, just by offering tulsi leaves to the Supreme Lord, jalasya chulukena va, and taking water in chuluk. Chulukulu means that palm, just full of water. If you offer the water, especially that water should be Ganga water, and then putting your tulsi leaves on that, in that water, and offering it to the Bhaktvatsala Sri Bhagavan, then what? Vikrinite swam atvanam. Then Krishna himself sells him, you know, he basically sells himself to that devotee who does this process, because he is Bhaktevyo Bhaktavatsala, because he is very, very affectionate towards his devotees. And holding on to this verse, Advaitacharya would bathe his Shaligram Shila with Ganga water, with Tulsi Manjari, offering all dhoop, deep, chandan, musk, oil, that fragrant oil, kasturi, he would offer, and he would invoke the presence of the Supreme Lord. Hohunkari Garjanadi, and he would roar like a lion. And Vrindavan Das Thakur writes that how when he was roaring, his sound was penetrate the entire 14 planet, the above 7 planetary systems, and you know it would reach to the abode of Lord Supreme Lord, that is the abode of Vaikuntha. And this way he would pray. So we read all this, and today we'll go with text number 84 onwards, that how he would loudly cry, and Vrindavan Das Thakur writes, Ataiva Advaita Vaishnava Agraganya Nikhila Brahmande Yandra Bhakti Yoga Dhanya. Very, very important verse, where the position of Advaita Acharya, Shri Vrindavan Das Thakur, is describing that who he was. He is Vaishnava Agraganyam. We all know the meaning of Agraganyam. Agra means first class, first basically, and Ganyam means the class of that group of that devotees. So among those devotees who were worshipping the Supreme Lord as Shri Krishna, who were following all their prescribed duties and who were also discussing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita with the right intention and in the right mood. Among all those group of devotees, Agraganyam, the first class devotee, was Advaita Acharya. And we all know who is Advaita Acharya. He is Lord Shiva, Sadashiv, and he is Vishnu, Mahavishnu, right? So how important it is that we also, in the mood of Advaitacharya, like Advaitacharya prayed for all of us, and today we are in this movement, we can understand that somebody might have prayed for us in the mood of Advaitacharya. When Advaitacharya was loudly roaring, he was calling on to the Supreme Lord to come and descend and liberate all these people, give devotional service to all these people. So we also have to understand that this is the mood of Advaitacharya that we have to imbibe in our hearts. If Advaitacharya prayed for all the Navadvipvasis, we have to understand that somebody in the mood of Advaitacharya might have prayed for us also, That's why we are today discussing this Chaitanya Bhagavat. We are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. We are discussing Chaitanya Charitamrita. And following on to the same mood, we should understand that if somebody would have prayed for us, then it is also our duty that we should also pray for somebody. Those who are literally wasting their human form of life and not able to understand the importance of human form of life and just wasting in all those materialistic enjoyments, those sense enjoyment. So we should also pray for them in the mood of Sri Advaitacharya. That will show that how compassionate we are. We all know that there is a triangle, right? Namaruchi, then comes Vaishnava Seva, and then comes Jivadaya. Unless and until we have all these three, the triangle of our devotion will not be complete. We have to have Jivadaya. We have to have taste in chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord, Namaruchi, and of course, Vaishnava Seva. Vaishnava Seva, yes, we have to perform Vaishnava Seva and try to avoid any Vaishnava Aparad. We should really, you know, guard ourselves through that Vaishnava Aparad, because the moment we do that Vaishnava Aparad, all our spirituality gets doomed. Sometimes, even if we don't have the taste of chanting the holy name and we chant, though we don't have the chant in the holy name, it can still work. But if we commit Vaishnava Prad, if we don't serve Vaishnavas, then forever our spiritual life will be doomed. Forever. So, you know, we should be very, very careful. And we all know who is the topmost Vaishnava. As per Srimad Bhagavatam, it is being explained that nimna ganam yatha ganga devanam achyuto yatha vaishnavanam yatha shambhu purananam tatha idam tatha. That just how Ganga, among all the rivers, Ganga is supreme. Among all the devatas, Achyuta, our Lord Sri Krishna, Lord Hari is supreme. And among all the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu. And among all the Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva is supreme. And among all the scriptures, all the Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam is supreme. So we cannot forget the position of Lord Shiva also in our life, in the life of a devotee. The position of Lord Shiva in the life of a devotee is very, very significant. 2 days back, we all celebrated Shivaratri. And I know there are a lot of doubts that comes up that how we have to observe Shivaratri. So Lord Shiva's Shivaratri should be observed. I don't say that we should fast, we should don't fast. That's all up to the individuals. Please don't take me wrong. Okay? That's all up to you all. How your body can tolerate, how much austerities you can do. You fast, you don't fast. Again, debatable topic. I don't want to get into it. But on such wonderful, auspicious appearance days, or auspicious days, I should say, should not be avoided, should not be ignored. Rather, they should be properly acknowledged. Like we celebrated Lord Shiva's, this Shivaratri that came up 2 days back. At least on that day, if we cannot do anything, then we should remember Lord Shiva, that how he is the greatest of all Vaishnava. Just by saying or repeating this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, that Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu, doesn't help. We have to really dive deep into it, that what is the meaning of Vaishnavanam yatha shambhu, right? Just like in the verse that we read today, he writes that Advaita Acharya, who is Sadashiv, who is Mahavishnu, he is Vaishnava Agraganyam. So he is also quoting, Vrindavan Das Thakur is also quoting, that he's a first-class Vaishnava, right? Just as Bhagavatam says that Vaishnava Nam Yathashambhu. So we should imbibe this, we should follow this, that he is a Param Vaishnava. Just not say it, but follow it. So yes, how do we, and of course we all know, we have heard so many lectures, we have read so many places, that how without the mercy of Lord Shiva, we cannot get Radha and Krishna. We cannot get the devotion towards Radha and Krishna. Why? Because he is the one who is standing at the door. He is the doorkeeper. He is guarding all the dhams. He is basically taking care of all the dhams so that people who are offenders can stay away. They don't get entrance into that dham. Right? So he is Gopeshwar Mahadev. He is Chakleshwar Mahadev. He is Kameshwar Mahadev. So all those wonderful places of Radha and Krishna where they perform their pastimes, Lord Shiva is guarding. And it is said that if you want entrance in Vrindavan, you have to have permission of five personalities. And among those five personalities, the foremost is Gopeshwar Mahadev. So without his permission, we cannot even enter into dham, right? So if we really want to enter into dham, we have to have his permission. So we have to please him. The position of Lord Shiva is not a mere mortal soul like me and you. He is altogether into a different tattva, which is Shiva tattva. Anyway, this class is not in the glorification of Lord Shiva. But because Lord Shiva, Sadashiv, he came as Advaita Acharya, and we are discussing about the topic of Advaita Acharya. So I thought that, and also we celebrated Shivaratri 2 days back. So I thought it's very important that we should try to understand the position of Lord Shiva. Yes, he's Ashutosh. From the scriptures, we know that how he would give benedictions to all the asuras also. But understand that he is Ashutosh, but understand the mood by which we approach him. The asuras approach him with all those sense gratification things, right? So they are being fulfilled. But the devotees, they pray for what? For the devotion to the Supreme Lord Sri Hari, the devotion to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, Radha and Krishna. When we approach in that mood, that is the right mood by which we should worship Lord Shiva. And recently on that day itself, I was hearing the class by His Holiness Giriraj Swami, and Maharaj was explaining so wonderfully that we should acknowledge certain days. We should really acknowledge these precious days, such as Shivaratri. We should not ignore these days, right? Not thinking that we are not Shivites, we are Vaishnavas, why we should worship Lord Shiva. Hey, Lord Shiva is Vaishnava Naam Yathashambhu. And Maharaj was explaining that being a devotee, reading Srimad Bhagavatam every day, we should understand the position of Lord Shiva. And especially on this Shivaratri day, we should read those prayers of Lord Shiva that he offered them. You know, he basically instructed the prachetas, but he also offered his own prayers to Lord Shiva, to the Supreme Lord. And Maharaj was quoting that we should go through all these prayers, especially on those days. And two prayers are very, very beautiful. These prayers normally we should chant, not only on those days, but also every day before starting our japa. Namo namo aniruddhaya rishikesh indriyatmane namo param param hamsaya purnaya nibhritatmane swarga purga dwaraya nityam suchi sade namaha namo hiranyaviraya chaturhoi tantravi. So these prayers are very, very important, where Lord Shiva is establishing and is telling the prachetas that how you should play to Aniruddha. He is the controlling deity of our mind. We all know through Bhagavad Gita that how when Krishna was telling Arjuna that you have to control your mind, and Arjun would say, Krishna, if you want, I can control the wind through the power of my arrows, but I cannot control mind. And Krishna says, Abhyasena tu Kauntaya, that through constant practice, he says that I agree with you that this mind is very, very difficult to control. If mind is controlled, the battle is won. But it is very, very difficult to control. Then how can we control? Then Lord Shiva himself is telling the Prachetas, pray to Aniruddha. He is the controlling deity of our mind. Namo namo Aniruddhaya Rishikesh Indriyatmane Namaha Paramhamsaya Purnaya Nibhritatmane. If we pray to Aniruddha, then he will help us to control our mind. And while chanting, the biggest obstacle is our mind. I don't know about others, but for me, it is the biggest obstacle because it wanders everywhere. And because it wanders everywhere, all the offenses also come, right? So how to control the mind is to pray the controlling deity of the mind. Who is giving this verse? It's been given by Lord Shiva. So we have to acknowledge his presence. It's just like saying, we don't worship Lord Shiva, but we acknowledge the presence of Advaita Acharya, right? It's just like saying, we don't worship Brahma, we ignore the presence of Brahma, we don't give respect to Brahma, but we worship Haridas Thakur because he is our Nama Acharya. Every day also before chanting, we worship, we pray to Nama Acharya, Shri Haridas Thakur. Who is he? He is Lord Brahma. So these positions are not the ordinary positions. We have to understand. See, without the mercy of Nithai, we all know we cannot get Radha and Krishna. That's for sure, right? We all agree to it that without the mercy of Nithai, we cannot get Radha Krishna. He no Nithai, bine bhai, Radha Krishna pate nai, dridha dhakaro dharo Nithai bhai. That we have to hold on to the lotus feet of Nityananda, if we really want Radha and Krishna, right? But how we will get the mercy of Nithai? Because we need the mercy of Nithai, we want to hold on to the lotus feet of Nithai, only then we will get Radha and Krishna. He no Nithai bina bhai, Radha Krishna pate nai. Dhrida kari dharo nitar pai. Dhrida kari dharo nitar pai. We have to hold on to the lotus feet of Nityananda. But how can we approach Nityananda? Is he so accessible? No, then Narottam Das Thakur, what he's saying? Doya karo sita pati. Advaita Gosai, Tava Kripa Bale Pai, Chaitanya Nitai. So he's saying, Daya Karo Sita Pati Advaita Gosai. So it's only through the mercy of Advaita Acharya, Tava Kripa Bale Pai, Chaitanya Nitai. It's only because when Advaita Acharya becomes merciful, we get Nitai and Chaitanya, we get Gaura Hari and we get Nityananda Prabhu, we get their mercy. And when we get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and when we hold on to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda, then we will get Radha and Krishna. So without the mercy of Advaita Acharya, without the mercy of Sadashiv, we cannot enter Shridham Vrindavan. So we have to be really, really very, very careful regarding all this. So what Advaita Acharya will do? He would worship his Shaligram Shila, right? Hohunkara Garjanadi Ahoratra Sadguna. So this Shaligram Shila, actually what is the actual worship, the process of worshipping Shaligram Shila is that the Shaligram Shila, we massage them, right, with the oil, fragrant oil. Then we bathe them with water and offer tulsi manjaris. We offer bhoga. And just it's once a day. It's just once a day. We do that puja. And then for the whole day, Shaligram Shila is not touched. Yes, we can offer bhoga 3 times, but normally it is not touched. But here, They are saying that Hohunkar Garjanadi Aho Ratra Sadgunam. The whole day and night, Advaita Acharya would worship his Shaligram Shila because he was so much eager to make the Supreme Lord descend. And finally, seeing his prayers, we saw yesterday that Lord Krishna personally appeared, for he is controlled by the love of his devotees. Krishna is controlled by the love of his devotees. Moving on. Ei mata advaita vaishnadiyaya bhakti yoga shunya loka dekhi dukha paya. And in this way, day and night, worshipping his Shaligram Shila, Advaita Acharya, he resided in Navadvip and in great distress. Because why was in his great distress? Because people were lacking the devotion to the Supreme Lord. So he would worship day and night and would cry out so that the Supreme Lord can descend. Sakala samsara matta vyavarara se Krishna puja Krishna bhakti karo nahi vase. Everyone in the entire world was engaged in materialistic activities and no one was engaged in worshipping or serving Krishna. So we see that how Vrindavan Das Thakur is not going chronological order. So he was telling that how Advaita Acharya, what was the condition of Navadvip, how Advaita Acharya worshipped, how the Supreme Lord was very much pleased and he personally appeared and he told Advaita Acharya that I am going to descend in this age of Kali Yuga as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. But then again, Vrindavan Das Thakur is bringing up this point that what was the condition of the age of Kali and what was the condition of the people in Navadvip. So time and again throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll see that Vrindavan Das Thakur becomes ecstatic and whatever comes to his mind, then he will write. Though his language was very, very poetic, very, very sweet, but it is not in a chronological order. Vashuli pujaya keha nana upahare madhya mamsa diya keha yaksha puja kare. So what were those people in Navadvip? What were they doing? Some were worshipping Vasuli. Vasuli means Chandi or Durga with various abominable ingredients like madhya, intoxication, mamsa, that is the flesh. They were worshipping with meat and wine. So this way they were worshipping. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in the purport that what this Yaksha Puja is. And he is quoting one beautiful story of the astrologer and Yaksha in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela. So I know we all know this story, but because the topic has come up, so I thought in short, we can just discuss that what the story was about. So actually, the point was that how Vedic literature, all our Vedic literature, they give everything to us. They give Karma Khanda, Jnana Khanda, this mystic yoga, and then also Bhakti Yoga. But it's up to us that what we want, right, and how we approach to those Vedas, right? So he gives a very beautiful story that how a very learned astrologer, he came to the house of a very poor person, poor man, and he came and he saw that poor man was very, very distressed because he was very poverty stricken. So that astrologer told, why are you so distressed? You know, your father was very wealthy. But I can understand that because your father, though he was very wealthy, he didn't disclose his wealth to you. But now I, being an astrologer, I would tell you. I would tell you where the treasure is hidden. And similarly, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes that our Vedic literatures has also those hidden treasures. Right? It's up to us now that how we approach to those Vedas. So by the words, hearing the words of that astrologer, the poor man, he got really relieved that, okay, something is there that I can find that treasure and my poverty can be removed. So that astrologer took that poor man to the place where the treasure was dug into and where it was hidden. So Vrindavan, I'm just drawing the parallels that how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also tells that it's through the mercy of our Guru, who is now, right now as an astrologer, tells us where, what is the highest, how you can develop that sambandha with Krishna, and how the real connection of Sri Krishna can be established. Means that where that treasure is hidden, go and find that treasure. So the astrologer guides that poor man. And he said that, yes, here is the treasure. But he said that before you dig, I want to tell you. So similarly, our spiritual master also tells that before you go through this entire Vedas, I can warn you that this Vedas has everything in it. But you have to seek the treasure you are seeking for. And that is establishing the relationship with our Supreme Lord. So that astrologer tells that if you go and dig it in the southern side of this area, he went and he told that this is the area where the treasure is hidden by your father. So if you go and dig towards the southern side, what will you get? You will get wasps and drones. They will come and they will not let you take that treasure. So Kaviraj, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami draw parallel that similarly, if we go to a certain section of Vedas, then we will also get these wasps and drones, which is karmakanda activities. And what happens when we go into karmakanda activities? We lose taste in knowing about Krishna. We get so much engrossed in doing these karmakanda activities because we are getting so much enjoyment by doing those karmakanda activities. So we forget that what is the devotion? What is our devotion? We forget that, right? Then that astrologer say, if you go and dig to the western side, then the ghost will come and that will also disturb. And your hands will not even touch that treasure. So here, Kaviraj Goswami says that if you go to a certain section of Vedas, you will get all those idol worship, that ghostly worship, and those worshipping yakshas and demons. You'll get into that tantric part. That is also there in the Vedas. So if you go there, then you are far away from your ultimate goal, that is establishing the relationship with the Supreme Lord. If you duck towards the northern side, then the astrologer says, then you'll get a big snake that will bite you and devour you before you get your real treasure. So this big snake, Kaviraj Goswami compares to the Jnanakhanda, where they think that if you go to a certain section of Vedas, you will get into those jnanis, those Jnanakhanda, where they will say that renounce everything, just renounce everything. Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya. They have that kind of understanding and they will say, just go and merge into that Supreme Brahman. Well, that is not goal. That is just like a snake biting us and devouring our individuality. What is this merging into the Supreme? We cannot merge into the Supreme. How can we do? We have our own individuality. Krishna has his own individuality. So that is not the real establishment. That is not the real thing that the devotees are looking for. So therefore, but he says, but if you go and dig in the eastern direction, then as soon as you remove the small quantity of dirt, you don't have to go deep into it. You don't have to do some cumbersome process. It is a very easy process. Just remove the dirt, a little quantity of dirt, and you will immediately touch that entire pot of that treasure which your father has hidden. So similarly, in the same way, our spiritual master guides us that this is the real section of Vedas that you have to concentrate on. Vedas chastaham aham veda vedyam. Krishna says, if you want to know the Vedas, then the real knowledge of Vedas is to know that I am the Supreme, that Krishna is the Supreme. To know Krishna, that is the essence of all the Vedas. And our spiritual master guides us that go. You don't have to do any cumbersome process. You don't have to do any kind of austerities, penances. It is very easy, very simple. This bhakti yoga is very simple. And very easily, when you just dig up a little bit dirt and you'll get the entire. Means you'll do very little and you'll get a whole lot, which is establishing sambandha with Krishna. So this way, without any difficulty, you will touch that hidden treasure. So without any difficulty, if we follow the process of Bhakti Yoga, through that we can get our hidden treasure. And that is the treasure of establishing the sambandha, the true relationship with our Supreme Lord, Lord Shri Krishna. So this way, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wants to explain. But he says that if you go to the other part, then, you know, various things will come and they will devour you and you will not reach to your ultimate goal. Text 88. Niravadhi nritya gita vadya kola hala nashune krishnera nama parama mangala. Niravadhi nritya. Niravadhi means, avadhi means that which is limited to time, right? Niravadhi means which is beyond time, means non-stop. So that niravadhi in a positive connotation can be used for niravadhi chanting, means chanting the holy name of the Supreme Lord. But here they are saying niravadhi nritya gita. People were niravadhi. They were constantly, non-stop, were singing, nritya, dancing. Vadya kolahal, they were playing very, very loud instruments. But nashune krishnera naam parama mangala. But they were not able to concentrate or even hear the Supreme Lord's holy name Krishna, which is sumangala, which is parama mangala, which is so auspicious. They were doing all that, but they were not hearing Krishna's name. Krishna shunya mangala devera nahi shukha vishesha advaita mane paya bada dukha. And seeing all these conditions, Advaita Acharya, he became so distressed. He became so distressed upon seeing that all these people, they are engaging themselves into so-called auspicious activities. They are thinking that, you know, worshipping Chandi, worshipping Durga, and with all this Nritya, Gana, and doing all this is very, very auspicious, and they are not related anything to Krishna. So here Prabhupada writes, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes that the demigods are never pleased by so-called prayers for auspiciousness that are unrelated for Krishna. It is very, very important. That's why I brought up that point that even if we are worshipping Lord Shiva, we don't have to go and ask for beautiful wife, beautiful husband, some material things, the car or big house or good marks. No, we don't have to ask for this. What we have, because they will not be pleased. They can give you, but they will not be pleased by your service. Why? Because it is not related to Krishna. But the moment we ask Krishna bhakti, then yes, they are very, very pleased because it is related to Lord Shri Krishna. Text 90. Swabhava advaita bada karuna hridaya jivera udhara chinte haya sadaya. And by nature, Advaita Acharya is very, very compassionate and very, very merciful. Why? Because he is Sadashiv, who is Ashutosh, who is pleased very, very easily. And he was full of compassion and he mercifully contemplated how to deliver these living entities. So again, we saw that how Vrindavan Das Thakur is now again bringing up this point that Advaita Acharya was contemplating that how I can relieve these people from this distress. These living entities, how I can relieve them from the pain they are going through by not remembering Lord Shri Krishna. And previously we saw that how Advaita Acharya has already prayed and worshipped his Shaligram Srila and Krishna personally appeared. So this way, you know, back and forth, we will see in this entire Bhagavad that Vrindavan Das Thakur is going through. And then Advaita Acharya is simply thinking, Mora Prabhu Ashiyadi Kare Avatara Tabehaya Isakala Jivera Uthara. If my Lord descends, then all these fallen souls would be delivered. This was the compassionate nature of Advaita Acharya, that he prayed. And that's why in the starting of the class I was discussing that Advaita Acharya was praying for all these people. We should also understand that somebody must have prayed for us too. And in reciprocation, we should also pray for someone who is simply engrossed in materialistic activities and is not able to come to the level of devotion of Lord Shri Krishna. Then Advaitacharya says, Tabeta Advaita Simha Amara Badai Vaikuntha Vallabha Yadi Dekhana Hetai. He says, my name is Advaita. My name is Advaita Simha. I'm roaring like a Simha. I'm roaring like a lion. But this name will be apt. This name will be justified only when I would be able, when because of me, the Supreme Lord can descend from Vaikuntha and be able to liberate these souls of Navadvip. Then, you know, he said that my name as Advaita Simha would be justified. Aniya Vaikuntha Natha Sakshat Kariya Nachiva Gaiva Sarva Jiva Udhariya. So what Advaitacharya is saying, that this way when my Supreme Lord would descend, then he would chant, he would dance the holy names. He would chant and dance, he would appear in this world, and thus he would deliver all these living entities by propagating the Sangha, by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now again this word comes, Niravadhi e mata sankalpa kariya sevana Shri Krishna pada eka chitta haiya. So this way, Niravadhi, so now here is the positive part coming up, that how Niravadhi, without constantly, without consideration of any time, Niravadi, Advaita Acharya was praying to his Shaligram Shila, Ohunkara Garjanadi Aho Ratra Sadgunam. Day and night he was worshipping his Shaligram Shila. He was doing Sevana Shri Krishna Pada Eka Chitta Haya, with one pointed attention, with a fixed mind he was praying to Shri Krishna Chandra to please appear in this world and deliver these fallen souls. Advaita Karana Chaitanya Avatara Sei Prabhu Kaya Chana Barabara. And Lord Chaitanya, we all know, we have read the entire Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, where time and again Lord Chaitanya establishes this point that I came, I descended in this world. It's all because of the prayers of Advaita Acharya. Advaitara Karana Chaitanya Avatara. Lord Chaitanya repeatedly confirmed that he incarnated due to the desire of Sri Advaita Acharya. That was the last verse for today. And in this regard, I would say that how during the Mahaprakash Leela, which happened for 21 hours, Sat Prahar, it went on. And in that Mahaprakash Leela, when Mahaprabhu was giving mercy to everyone, so he gave mercy to Dukhi, who was bringing pots, and then he gave mercy to Murari Gupta and showed that he himself is Lord Ram. And then, and Murari is Hanuman. He gave mercy to Mukunda. He gave mercy to Haridas Thakur by showing that how he has taken those whips when Haridas Thakur was whipped in 22 marketplaces. Mahaprabhu himself showed his back that, see, I have taken those whips on my back because at that time when they were beating you, I covered your body with my body. He gave mercy to Khola Vecha Shridhar. At that time, he also called on to Advaita Acharya and he said, oh Acharya, you know, he brought up that instance. We are not going into Mahaprakash Leela right now. He brought up that instance that how Advaita Acharya was fasting and Mahaprabhu made him eat on that day. But lately he said that I incarnated because of you, Advaita Acharya. You prayed for me. And so the personality to whom you prayed is me. So I have come, I have descended because of your prayers. So time and again, she Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established this point that his avatar, his incarnation happened because of the prayers of Advaita Acharya. So this way, Vrindavan Das Thakur, after describing about Advaita Acharya, he went forward about Shiva's Pandit, that how Shiva's Pandit was there in Navadvip with all his brothers, and then he'll discuss about Srila Haridas Thakur. So this way, you know, he'll describe about all the associates of Mahaprabhu, and then you know, he will describe that how on the auspicious day of Falgun Purnima, Mahaprabhu descended. So we'll stop here. Thank you all so much for your patiently listening and for your association. If I have said something which is not pleasing to your ears or which have hurt you in some way or other, then please, I really beg forgiveness from each and every one of you. You are Saragrahi Vaishnavas. So just take, you know, just like the swan takes only the, when it has been given the milk and water, mixture of milk and water, swan grabs only the milk and rejects the water. So you also as Saragrahi Vaishnavas, please accept only that is something what I said was pleasing to your ears and something which was not kindly rejected. Just take it that whatever I said, if it was pleasing, it was coming from my guru, and if it is not, then it was all from my mundane durabuddhi. So please accept my most humble obeisances at the dust of your lotus feet. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktavinda ki jai, all the assembled Vaishnavas ki jai, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. I quickly go over because I'm in the middle of something. So thank you so much Mataji for such a beautiful class. I had one question about the Shalagram Shila. I'm curious to know why it's not even mentioned as Shalagram. It just says Krishna, Krishna everywhere. I don't know if I've not read it. I mean, of course, I didn't go through it in detail. But when I was scrolling through earlier, may not be today, I just saw it just says Krishna. So is there any specific reason why we always attribute it to a Shalagram? And yeah, and the details of the Shalagram. Can you please throw some light on it, Mataji?
Thank you so much, Preeti Vilasini Mataji. Yes, Vrindavan Das Thakur has not described. He just said that, you know, he was simply praying Krishna Chandra. But we all know through Chaitanya Charitamrita that how he was worshipping his Shaligram Shila. He had his Shaligram Shila. He would bathe the Shaligram Shila with Ganga water and with Tulsi leaves. And actually, it has been explained in Padma Puran, which is also quoted by Sanatan Goswami in his Hari Bhakti Vilas, that Shaligram Shilayantu Sakshat Shri Krishna Sevanam Nityam Sanhittas Tatra Vasudeva Jagat Guru. So what he's saying is that Shaligram Shila, the worship of Shaligram Shila is actually the worship of Lord Hari directly, who is the spiritual master of this entire universe and who resides eternally within Shaligram Shila. And how important it is. Actually, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, there is an entire section which establishes the importance of Shaligram worship. That even, you know, when you bring some deities at home, you bring Gopal, you bring Radha Krishna, you even bring Gaur Nitai deities. So at home also you do a certain kind of pran pratishtha. Not pran pratishtha that we do it in the temple as such. In temple it is an elaborate manner, and that's why certain rules and regulations are followed. But even at home we do a certain type of pran pratishtha. Only then those deities become Gaur Nitai or become Radha and Krishna. We invoke the presence of the Lord. But Shaligram Shila is such that there is no installation process also needed. So how it is so purified. And as even the deities, it has been explained that, you know, agar wo khandit ho jati hai, like if some part of that deity is being broken, then it is not supposed to be worshipped. But Shaligram Shila, it is said that even it is broken, it is half broken, or wherever it has been you know, it's not proper, but still it is equally potent and it has to be worshipped. So yes, the establishment of worshipping Shaligram Shila is there in our scriptures. And it is said that at least those who are second initiated should worship Shaligram Shila. But at the same time, Shaligram Shila is not bought, is not purchased, is basically comes on their own mercy. It's through the mercy of the Vaishnavas that one gets the worship of Shaligram Shila. And as coming to your point that yes, Shaligram mentioned word is not there in Vrindavan Das Thakur's book, at least not here, maybe in the rest of the Madhyakhanda or Antyakhanda, I have not read the entire Chaitanya Bhagavat. But Chaitanya Charitamrita Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that yes, he used to worship his Narasimha Shaligram Shila. Hope that helps.
Yeah. And yes, Mataji. The other part of the question was, is it is it also mentioned about Narasimha Shaligram?
Yes, it's mentioned Narasimha Shaligram Shila, and that Shaligram Shila is still there in Shantipur, where Advaita Charya is
worshipped. Okay. Yeah, thank you for that. And thank you for the clarification, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Kirti Dasandari Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Please accept my humble obeisances. I had a question. When you said that Advaita Acharya prayed, cried out for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Lord Krishna, to appear. So is this happen every time? Is it Advaita Acharya who does this? Is that just for this time? Or how does he come when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes in another, kalpa, whatever? I guess this is kind of like a speculative question, but I was just curious if there's any understanding or any idea of how that, if he's the one that does it and he does it every time.
I have no idea, Mataji. I don't want to speculate on this because I've never heard of, but that's for sure that whenever Mahaprabhu comes, he comes with his associates, with his own entourage, right? So every time Advaita Acharya worships or every time he comes, I have no idea, because even Mahaprabhu comes only once in a day of Krishna. We all know that.
Right? In Brahma, yeah.
Yeah. one day of Brahma, in one kalpa of that Brahma. So even Krishna, and followed that Dwapar Yuga, in that Kali Yuga, Mahaprabhu descends. So definitely, all the associates definitely accompany them. But in every Kalpa, whenever Mahaprabhu comes, it's always because of the call of Advaita Acharya. I really have no idea and I don't want to speculate.
Yeah.
But as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes, that this is the external cause. Because for Mahaprabhu, for Krishna to descend, he needs certain causes, right? Some artificial causes. Though he has his internal cause, but external cause is the call of Advaita Acharya.
Okay, thank you, Mataji. And beautiful class once again in so many different levels. So thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. I was not well prepared, but... Okay. Anyone else has anything to add on?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. It's me.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Gaurangi Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, I had a question about, you remember in your lecture when you were saying that we should pray to Aniruddha because, what is it? He's the... is it false ego?
Controlling
mind. Right? Mind. And we should also pray to Lord Shiva, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm asking about this because, and I think I've asked in this Sangha recently also, why it is we should pray separately to these two personalities when the Maha Mantra, Krishna has invested all of his Shakti into the Maha Mantra, and also because there was another reason why I'm asking. Oh, yeah, because we recite the Panchatattva Mantra before we do our rounds, and that Panchatattva Mantra, it includes Sadashiva in the form of Advaita Acharya. So for these two reasons, I'm wondering why separate prayers are actually necessary.
Thank you, Gaurangi Mataji. Now, after knowing you personally, I'm hesitating answering this question.
Oh my God, I should have given class with my camera off the whole time.
But I know you must be asking for my own purification.
So no, I never ask for anything other than selfish reasons. Always for my own purification, Mataji.
Yeah, Mataji, I'll try to answer that. Yes, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is all in all. Very true, as you said. Naam, naam, akari, bahudani, jasarvashakti. Krishna has infested all his energies in this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And niyamite na kala, and there is no niyam wherever, whenever we can chant. But the point is that Krishna's name, they take aparadhas. So we know that there are many offenses in chanting the holy name. I'm not saying that when we chant on the level of nama aparad, we will not get anything. You know, we might get some materialistic gain, some material prosperity by chanting nama aparad. And then comes the nama bhas, where the liberation comes. And finally comes the shuddha nam, that is when we get the ultimate goal of our chanting, which is Krishna prem. So our ultimate goal of chanting is Krishna prem, which will come only with shuddha nam. We cannot get Krishna prem with nam aparad or nam abhas, right? So we can get only with shuddha nam. And do, at least I'll talk about myself now. I personally don't think that I am on the level where I can chant shuddha nam, right? So I know that I have to go a long way. I have a long way to go. This bhavasagar, this material existence, it is very, very difficult to pass. It's very easy to say that just cross over this material existence, it will become a calf hoof print. You can just step over, you can cross, and you can go to the other side, that is to the spiritual world. Bhagavatam establishes, all our acharyas establishes this point. I know this is a foolproof process. It's definitely going to work. Definitely, I have no doubt about it. But right now, I myself is not on the level where I can chant that shuddha nam. What to talk about shuddha nam? Even not level where I can get a glimpse or a shadow of a shuddha nam, where I can chant on the level of nama bhas. Whatever I'm chanting is definitely all on the level of nama prad. If deliberately I'm not trying to commit all those offenses which are mentioned, then at least the last offense that Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashaya says, that it is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. So definitely my rounds are not 100% with full attention. So I have a long way to go. So just like a small child, you know, when he learns bicycling, so how that child learns? Immediately the parents don't let the child sit on the cycle and say, just move on. They give the supporters. You know, there are supporters that are being placed on that bicycle so that child can nicely learn how to pedal it. Now, child is not balancing that cycle. Definitely not. The supporters are helping so that bicycle can be balanced and the child learns to pedal. So worshipping Lord Shiva, asking for his mercy, not for mundane, but definitely for Krishna Bhakti. And reciting this Panchatattva mantra, asking for the forgiveness that we might commit while chanting Krishna's name, are the supporters. They are the supporters. And I, being a child who doesn't know how to bicycle properly, need the help of those supporters. But once we are perfect in cycling, then slowly what parents do? They remove the supporters. They remove the supporters. So when we have that Garisatmika Buddhi, aka Guru Nandana, when we come on to that level that I'm resolute in my resolution, I'm perfect in my determination, that yes, I have a one-pointed attention towards the Supreme Lord. When I come to that level, at that time, yes, these supporters are not needed. But till that time, I really need those supporters so that I can chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra perfectly without any offenses. I can also come, jump from Naam Aparad to Naam Abhas to Shuddh Naam so that I can get the ultimate goal of this chanting, which is Krishna Prem. Before that, you know, it's very, very difficult to cross over. This Maya Devi can come at any point in a very, very subtle form. Very, very subtle form we'll not even able to notice. I'll take a few minutes, I'll tell you one story. I know you must have heard also in this forum only, somebody was telling that there was one Brahman and he used to chant his Gayatri mantras very, very perfectly. In that time, we know that how the Gayatri mantras are chanted. So these Gayatri mantras, they are supposed to be chanted at a particular time during a particular Mahurta. So there is a window of 45 or 48 minutes. And in that time period, you have to chant those Gayatri mantras. So there was a Brahmin and he used to nicely take shower before chanting, go to Ganga, take bath and would sit on the banks of Ganga and would chant his Gayatri. And he was very pakka in it. And also he was very proud. So there was a pride that, you know, seeps in when he was chanting to an extent that he would claim that, you know, he never missed his Gayatri, never ever he missed his Gayatri. And he would chant at a particular time, three sandhyas, right? We chant morning, afternoon and the evening. And in that particular time, he would chant. So he was very proud of it. So once what happened, he went, somebody invited him for Brahmbhoj, for eating, for lunch prasadam. So he went there and he ate, he overate. So when we overeat, what happened is we tend to sleep. And he came back and he slept. And now was the time for the evening sandhya, that is to chant his evening Gayatri. And he has to take shower, he has to wear clean clothes, and then he has to chant his Gayatri. And the time was passing by, right? And then, and he was still sleeping. So he would have missed his Gayatri. But then Maya Devi herself came, and in his dream, she whispered, "Hey, this is the time to chant your Gayatri. Wake up." And he immediately woke up. He saw the time. There were still few minutes left. He immediately went. He took shower. And just in time, he was able to chant his Gayatri. And then the associates of Maya Devi, they said that, why? You know, why you told him that you should chant? You would have made him slept the whole time and let that Mahurta be passed. You know, then, you know, his pride would come down. And he would also feel that, yes, now he has missed his Gayatri. Then Maya Devi said, no, if I would have done that, he would have become humbled. He would have become humbled. And because of that, you know, he would have added to his own credit extra point to go home back to Godhead. But because he's puffed up, I want to increase his pride. So that's why I whispered, so that still now he can proclaim that he never missed his Gayatri. So just see that even in this way, how Maya Devi is helping to bind us into this material. So it is insurmountable. Devi Esha Guna Mai Mama Maya Durataya. Krishna says it is very, very difficult to cross over. It is extremely difficult to cross over. We definitely need the supporters. We definitely need the mercy of all the Vaishnava Acharyas. We need the mercy of Vaishnavas. That's what why have to be humbled enough that whosoever comes, we have to beg at the dust of their lotus feet. Even that person may not be a Vaishnava. So that, you know, by some or the other, we get those blessings which adds on to our credits so that we can chant nicely and we can go home back to God. So these are just the supporters, Mataji. At least I'm talking about myself. Hope that helps. Sorry for answering such a long way.
But no. I do understand the need for support and, you know, nobody needs help as much as I do. But I still, you know, this support that you're speaking of, isn't that the reason why we chant the Panchatattva mantra?
because without their mercy,
yes,
we cannot do.
Yes, we
and,
do.
And the other thing is that, sorry, just what, just let me just include this other thing is that we are also told that, you know, if we are suffering from inattentive chanting, you know, we the cure is just bring the mind back, bring the mind back, bring the mind back. Krishna will see by our endeavor that we are serious, because he doesn't really care that our mind wanders, because he knows that that's the nature of the mind. What he cares is whether we allow it to, you know, stay wandering, or if we make endeavor to bring it back. So we hear therefore that the cure for inattentive chanting is just to go on chanting. And so I'm not trying to counter anything that you said. I'm just telling you why I'm still having questions about this. Because if, you know, the idea of taking support, which, as I've already said, you know, nobody needs as much support as I do. So I don't have any problem with taking support. It's just that when I think of support for the Maha Mantra, it kind of almost sounds like, you know, the Maha Mantra is not enough by itself to bring us back, you know, even with the inattentive chanting. Like I said, you know, I've always heard that the cure for that is just keep on trying, you know, and Krishna will reciprocate with that. You know, I don't know.
Yes,
so, I mean, I, you know, I well received everything you said, but still I'm having these questions somehow.
I'll try to say whatever I have understood and heard. Yes, Maha Mantra is all in all, and support, as a support to Maha, we also chant the Panchatattva Mantra. But at the same time, Mataji, we have to understand that, as you said, that inattentive chanting, the cure is that we have to chant more and more, right? As Sachinandan Swami Maharaj would always say, that the sincerity of a sadhaka to bring his mind back onto the focus of Maha Mantra is what is actually counted, right? So the more sincerely we bring back, and more often we bring back our mind back to the chanting, is what is counted. But we have to understand that that's going to lead us to Namabha stage. Right? The more we bring back, it will come from Namaprat to Namabhas. But Namabhas is not our ultimate goal. We have to cross that Namabhas also, and we have to come to a Shuddhanam. And His Holiness Sachinanda Swami Maharaj, one of the Living Holy Name retreat, he was telling that Nama Prat is, he was giving an analogy, that a person who wants to go dive into the ocean, wants to swim in that ocean, but starting he is just standing outside onto the shore, thinking, go, not go, trying three, four footsteps, coming back, then going forward, then coming back. It is just like our inattentive chanting. But then somehow he gets a little feel that, yes, he can go deep into it. And he goes to a little farther extent where the waves are coming, tossing him over and over again. But he was able to survive. And that is what is Namabhas, because now he got the taste. Abhyasena tu kaunteya. Through that practical purpose, through that practice, now he was able to go little extent. But that is not the goal. That is not the goal. The goal is when he would able to swim nicely in the ocean, followed by the waves. Waves are coming, going, taking him, and he is constantly, very peacefully, swimming in that ocean. And that is what is Shuddhanam, where the mind now no longer bothers us. We don't have to bring back the mind. The mind is supporting us, and we are chanting with Shuddhanam. So point, what you are saying that it is needed is to come from the level of Namaprad to the level of Namabhas. But that is not the goal. We have to cross even that, right? So I'm not saying that daily you go and you worship Lord Shiva. I'm not saying that, or worship any other demigods. What my point was, that when certain auspicious tithis, that auspicious days come, please don't ignore them. acknowledge the importance of those tithis. Just like it is said, when Radhashtami is there, why do we worship specifically with so much enthusiasm to Srimati Radharani? Isn't that we have to worship every day? She is our Dhatri, she is our goddess, she is whole and soul for all our Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Then why on specific day? Because that specific day is non-different from her. Is non-different from her. So definitely mercy will be much more extensive on those special days. When there is appearance day of any acharyas, we try to recite, you know, we try to remember them. We read about them. We pray to them specifically. Narottam Das Thakur has to be prayed every day. His prarthanas, his bhajans has to be sung every day. Right? Only then the mercy will come. But on the special days like the disappearance or the appearance day of Narottam Das Thakur, mercy flows in a greater extent. So on that day, because that appearance and disappearance of Narottam Das Thakur is actually non-different from Narottam Das Thakur. So personality himself is coming on to that in those days. So why not pray specifically with full enthusiasm, with full eagerness, and in the right mood of having devotion to Lord Shri Krishna. So we should acknowledge those days. That was my point. And that's what, like it is said that, you know, as you said, that extra work. This is not an extra work. We are acknowledging the position of a Param Vaishnava, and on his special day, if we ask those benedictions, then the probability is more that we get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the swimming analogy. That was helpful. And so we are to take advantage of these special days.
Special days. We have to acknowledge.
Not only to bring us from Namabharata, but you're saying also to take us, in addition to that, to take us from Namabharata to Shudanam.
Yes, because it's only through Shuddhanam. It's only and only through Shuddhanam that we'll get Krishna Prem. Only and only through Shuddhanam. Otherwise, no. Krishna is not so cheap. He doesn't sell himself so easily, because if Krishna sells himself, then he becomes a slave. And he doesn't want to become a slave of anybody. But he regards his devotees, yes, for sure. So it's only through Shuddhanam that we'll get Krishna Prem. Bahu janma kare yadi shravana kirtana tabu tanapaya Krishna pade premadana. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that no matter for lifetimes, birth after birth, if we chant the holy name, but if our chanting is infested with any one offense, then that is not going to lead us to the ultimate goal of chanting, which is Krishna Prem. So Krishna Prem will come only onto the level of Shuddhanam. But that doesn't mean that Nam Aparad will not help us. Nam Aparad will help us. Maybe materially we can grow stronger, more prosper. Nam Abhas can give us liberation. But if we want the Krishna Prem, then we have to come onto the level of Shuddhanam, no matter what.
Yeah, and then the reason why you say that taking help does not mean that the mantra is
not potent.
Yeah, not potent or not
sufficient. Mantra itself is sufficient. What's going to take us back home is not even the Gayatri mantras. Like, why do we chant Gayatri mantras? Why there is second initiation? Isn't it the first initiation is enough? Because Hare Krishna Mahamantra is enough for us to go home back to Godhead. Why do we need second initiation? Why do we have to chant our Gayatris? Because it's work as a catalyst. It helps us to come onto the level of Shuddhanam. It helps us to regulate our life. Because we have to chant this certain mantras, these Gayatri mantras. We are seeking blessings from our Guru, from Mahaprabhu, from Krishna. We are seeking blessings from them so that we can come to the level of Shuddhanam. So this second initiation, the Gayatri mantras that we get from a spiritual master, works as a catalyst so that our Hare Krishna Maha Mantra can be pure, can be purified.
Yes. Thank you so much for trying so hard for so long with me, Mataji. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, it's going to, I'm going to have to enter a little more purification to get it fully, but this was helpful. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Is there anyone want to have a question? Otherwise, I can.
No, say, go ahead. I have full
thank
time.
You very much. So, thank you very much, Mataji. This just is very entertaining and wonderful class.
One request, Mataji, before you go on, that if anybody is getting late and they have to leave, please feel free to exit and you can carry on with your work. But if others, those who have questions, I have all time for all of you. Thank you. Yes, Yashomati Mataji.
No, just I want to say that this is a very, such a wonderful class and beautiful class. Whatever you talk about everything, when we do the devotion to the Lord, we shouldn't have pride inside. Whatever you talk about the Navdeep people, that they were doing all the things they know about everything, they scholarly, but they had a pride. So by them, we have to understand, I take lesson that when we do devotion or anything like for Krishna's, we shouldn't have any pride. We should be prideless like that. Otherwise, there is no use for anything, whatever we do, if we have a pride. Krishna doesn't please with pride. I remember the gopi when in Ras Lila, they got like that, oh, Krishna is with me, Krishna is with me, Krishna is with me. And then Krishna knew that and he just disappeared from there. He was there, but he was disappeared from their vision, right? So by that, I take lesson that we should never try pride. We should always be humble like that. And the other thing, whatever you talk about Advaitacharya, he was a great devotee and he just worshipped for Shaligram Bhagwan, how he was worshipped. And how he did pray for ours, for us. By that, I take lesson that we should also the pray for somebody on the mood like Advaitacharya, how he did pray for us and we get this Prabhupada and then we do these things. So it's very real, very nice for me to take the lesson. And then you talk about the Shivratri, about the Shivji. But Advaitacharya is the same, the Sadashiva and Mahavishnu's avatar form. So I like all that thing, whatever you talk about. And then you talk about Sabandhagya. So how we have to do the relationship with the Lord, right? That. So. I like that thing. So then also I like that thing. Whenever, before I was used to do the demigod worship to like Lord Shiva or something like that, Lord Ganesh. But now I understand everything. Before I was new and that Krishna is the supreme, but when everybody was doing, so I was doing like that too, Mataji. But and I at that time also I was materialistic, little bit more like that, not like us, not like now. So I was always there. I was doing the worship for Parvati Maya that I need Akhand Saubhagya like that. And I was worship Shiva that I want a husband like you, like a Bhole Baba like that. So that's what I was desiring at that time. I didn't know. I shouldn't do, but today I saw that we shouldn't never ask for material things to the demigods. Only Krishna's bhakti we have to do. At that time I was talking to Shivji or something that I want also Krishna bhakti because I love Krishna too much since my childhood. But still I was like a little bit diverted at that time. But today's and now when as soon as I came in Krishna ISKCON and then I understood totally like that all the main goal is my Krishna, nothing else. So I just love that things, whatever you talk about today. And I like the answer, whatever you gave to the Gaurangi Mataji, that our mind is flickering all the time. It's going, wandering here and there, every time. So even though we do that thing, the Panch Tattva Mantra and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but still you talk about that we can come out from Namabhas, not Shuddha Nam. So for Shuddha Nam, because Maya Devi is just coming over, and that's happened. Mataji, you say you, but I'm not talking about that. I also like that sometimes. So many times Maya Devi comes to me and it makes me, my mind go away, and I just try to make him back again, my mind. So whatever, I am so happy to hear the answer, whatever you gave to Gaurangi Mataji. So, and if anybody have no question, then by your, hello?
Yeah, thank you so much.
By your permission, can we stop the class, or if somebody wants to say anything or question anything?
Yeah, if anybody has any questions or any comments, they can go ahead. Otherwise, we'll end up.
Hare Krishna Kirti Damataji, Dandavat for your name, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Very, very wonderful class, Mataji. So many instructions on how to follow Shivratri, how to honor the personalities on their special days. Mataji, I did have a question on Advaita Acharya. So once again, he is Lord Sadashiv and Mahavishnu, and he's come here and of course, one purpose of him, his is to bring Lord Mahaprabhu, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to this, to Navadvip, to this material world also. So, but why was it that, you know, on his own, he did not try to make any followers? I mean, or they did not expand their devotee community, because a lot of the people in Navadvip were already very, very educated and religious.
Yes, he is Mahavishnu. He would have done all by his himself. You know, he would have instigated that devotion in the heart of everybody. But he doesn't want to do that. Because after all, why he's coming for is to establish that Sankirtan movement. He wants to be an assistant in Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. That was destined. As we discussed in the last class, that when Mahaprabhu has to, when Krishna has to descend, he comes with his entourage, with his own dham. Right, so everything is pre-decided. So all these associates are sent for a particular reason. So his main reason was, yes, to call upon the Supreme Lord, because Supreme Lord also need a reason to come. So that one of the external reasons of Mahaprabhu's descent is the call of Advaita Acharya. And also he wants to partake in this entire Sankirtan movement. So he has a special service. So he could have done it. Like, it's just like you can say that Mahaprabhu would have done it. Mahaprabhu would have come to West and delivered everybody. But then why Mahaprabhu just restricted himself towards India? Because he wants his Senapati Bhakta, Srila Prabhupada, to come over and travel West. So everything is pre-decided that who is going to do what. Because Krishna's plans are perfect. They are not like our plans. One day this, one day that. Krishna's plans are perfect. So they all have a specific reason for their descent. So in that way, we can understand, yes, you know, it's not that Advaita Acharya was not potent enough. What to talk about Advaita Acharya? Even the simple devotee of Krishna gets this potency that one can instigate Krishna prema in the heart of others. Then what to talk about Mahavishnu himself? But he didn't do it because his purpose was to call Mahaprabhu. That's what he was here for. And not only to call him, he was instrumental in sending him back also. We read in Chaitanya Charitamrita that he, because of him only, when he sent a note, a confidential note, then even Mahaprabhu could feel that, okay. So he sent a confidential note that, yes, now is the time that you have to go back. You have to wind up your pastimes. So he was instrumental in doing some work. So that's why he has to carry out that orders.
Yes, Mataji. Yes, because I was just wondering, like, Shankaracharya came and he made so many followers, but then he didn't want to do anything like that.
Shankaracharya has no ability. He writes in Bhaja Govindam, Mudamate. But people were not able to understand at that point, and his purpose was not to make them understand. Example can be given. Was Lord Hanuman was not enough to bring Sita back? He was good enough, right? He would have brought Sita back. Why he need Lord Ram to come all over to Lanka? He would have simply destroyed, killed Ravana and would have come back. But that was not his purpose. He does his own duty. So all these devotees of the Lord do their own duties. They don't jump over what is not needed. So his duty was, okay, find out Mother Sita and then bring the message back. And so he did it, right?
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. It sounded very, very simple. Definitely we know this once you explained it. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Mataji, you really, really very nicely describe everything. So we can understand everything like that. And I like that one more thing, that we have to remember all the time Krishna, whatever he says in the Gita. Like man mana bhav mad bharto madhyaji mam namaste. So we have to follow Krishna's instructions, then everything will be fine. So thank you, Mataji, for your very enlightening class. And we are very grateful to you. And we are look forward to your association again in future. So if nobody have a question, then I can... Staff Vancha Kalpataru Pyashta Kupa Sindhu Pyayavacha Patitanam Pavane Pyo Vaishnave Pyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishna Vrundaki Jai Shri Chaitanya Bhagavat Ki Jai Srila Prabhupad Ki Jai Her Grace Shri Ketida Sundri Mataji Ki Jai
Jai
Haribol.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna Nanu Pranam Mataji.